Back in the mid-90s, Janice and I were pastoring a church in Lincoln City over on the Oregon coast. And one Sunday night, we had a missionary guest who was a personal friend of mine. And his particular area of ministry was ministering to kids and raising up children's ministries all across Asia. And so he had charge of the service this particular night. And it kind of went long because we had worship, and then they did some children's ministries thing, and then a message to the adults. And then at the very end, he opened it up for some Q&A. And so we asked people to raise their hands, and immediately as he opened it up for questions, our daughter Stephanie, who was 4 years old at the time, raised up her hand, and my friend, kind of excited that this cute little girl in the front had a question, said, "Yes, little girl, what's your question?" And Stephanie immediately said, "When's this thing going to be over?" And so kind of crushed his spirit. But that's how I feel today. How about you? When's this thing going to be over? One of the things that has happened during this time, and I've got no one to blame but myself, is that I have let Jana suck me into this television show called This Is Us. Have you ever seen this thing? Oh my goodness. I would say it's an emotional roller coaster, except for roller coasters have an up, and this thing is down every week. It's like each week, the writers are trying to figure out a different way to crush your spirit. Anyway, so you can be praying for me. So I want to encourage you right now that it looks like in many ways, maybe we're starting to turn the corner, and it won't be too much longer before we'll be able to have church as we're used to here in person in the building. And so I'm looking forward to that. I want to encourage you in the meantime to get involved in a life group. Get involved in a life group. I believe that being in a life group is absolutely strategic for us in the days ahead. Spiritually, I believe that this is a way that God has designed for all of us to connect with one another. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that the early church, they did meet in the temple courts all together, but it also says that they met from house to house. Now, a time came when they weren't able to meet at the temple courts anymore, but they did continue to meet in their homes. So meeting in each other's homes, life groups, it's not only practical, it's biblical. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't gotten into a life group, get into one as soon as you can. Well, we're going to look at a great passage of scripture this morning, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. I'm going to just read this to you. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What a great promise. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This morning, we're going to be talking about moving from anxiety to peace. Moving from anxiety to peace. Back in 2018, the mega chain bookstore Barnes & Noble reported a 25% increase in books that were selling on the topic of anxiety. This led one publishing company to state, "We may be living as an anxious nation." The World Health Organization has reported that an estimated 300 million adults all over the world suffer disorders, and that was reported before COVID-19. The United States is the most anxious country in the world. That might not surprise you. We have 40 million adults suffering from anxiety disorders. That's one out of every five American adults. Anxiety disorders account for a loss of $300 billion a year in medications and lost work time. Anxiety, unfortunately, is even higher among our young people, with 25% of those between the ages of 13 and 18 suffering from some kind of anxiety disorder. That's one out of every four of our teenagers. The average child today exhibits the same amount of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient from the 1950s. So I think it's safe to say today that anxiety itself is a pandemic. Anxiety can come at us in a lot of different ways. It has a lot of different things behind it, a lot of different reasons people suffer from anxiety. It can be excessive worry, maybe some traumatic experience from a person's past, exaggerated fear, having a closed down spirit that doesn't open up, practical things like just a lack of sun and exercise, fractured relationships, too much screen time, guilt and shame, all of these things. Believe it or not, anxiety itself becomes a source of anxiety. A person has a panic attack, and then they become extremely anxious, wondering when's the next one going to happen, and it becomes a vicious cycle of self-fulfilling prophecy. So we're all different, and we all respond differently to different things. What makes you anxious may not make me anxious, and what makes me anxious may not make you anxious. So we're all different, and we all have different ways of dealing with anxiety in our lives. This past week, I was reading a story about a business in Houston, Texas called, Tantrums. And this is a business where people can go to. There's four different rooms, and you pay $50 for 15 minutes in one of these rooms, and the rooms are filled up with old furniture, some old appliances, dishes, so the customer comes in and they, you know, put on some protective gear, and then they choose a weapon. It could be a baseball bat or a golf club or a lead pipe, and for 15 minutes they go into this room and they demolish everything in sight. All right, now I got to admit that sounds kind of fun to me, but in the end, you got to know that once you put down your baseball bat and you go back to your home, you go back to your office, you go back to your school, you're going to have the same problems as when you walked into Tantrums, right? So people deal with anxiety a lot of different ways. But one of the things that I love about teaching God's word is that the Bible is so practical. God knows how we're wired because he created us. He knows us better than anyone else, and he knows what we need more than anybody. That's why I bring us to this Philippians chapter 4 passage today. So we're going to back up to the sixth verse here, right in the center where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do not be anxious about anything. Now, you might be thinking to yourself right now, "That's just great, Tim. I'm already struggling with anxiety, and now you're going to pile some guilt and shame on my life because I'm not obeying this verse." So listen, I want to say this. We're all in this thing together. We all battle from time to time this beast called anxiety, all right? So there's two ways you could read this verse. You could read this verse like, "I want you to stop being anxious, you knucklehead. What's wrong with you? Don't you know Christians should never be anxious about anything, so just grow up before God gets mad at you." Or you could read this verse this way: "Hey, I know you're going through some hard times right now, but don't worry. God is with you and he's on your side. And instead of giving yourself over to fear and worry, God has given you some weapons to fight the beast of anxiety in your life." And so today we're going to take that approach. And I want to bring a word of encouragement to you today. If you struggle with anxiety, even occasionally, I want to bring a word of encouragement to you. And that is this: no matter what the source of our anxiety is, God has healing, understanding, insights, strategies, and power to overcome the beast, right? Now listen, I'm not planning on sugarcoating anything for you today, because I strongly believe that a huge step toward overcoming anxiety is to start taking personal responsibility for our lives. Listen, we've all been through stuff, but we cannot take the approach of being a victim. God has not created us to be victims. God is on our side, and the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. So is there going to be some comfort and encouragement in this message? Absolutely. But I'm also going to challenge you today to make some decisions in your life that are going to help you get unstuck. Because God wants to take you from where you are right now. He wants to take you from anxiety to experience His peace. So, with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, let's go after this life-sucking beast called anxiety. All right, I'm going to give you five things from this passage of Scripture. Actually, we're going to give you four today, and we're going to give you one next week. Five weapons to overcome anxiety in your life. The first one is this: choose joy. Choose joy. Back up to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. One of the things that we need to understand, and this will help us understand this verse, is that there is a huge difference between the world's definition of happiness and the Bible's definition of joy. Happiness is dependent upon my circumstances. Joy is available in all circumstances. Happiness is temporary. Joy is lasting. Happiness is elusive, but joy is a promised possession that we have as Christians. So joy is an emotion, yes, but apparently it's also a choice we can make because it's a command. We can choose joy in the Lord. Now, one of the interesting backstories behind this passage is the history that Paul had with this Philippian church. If you go to Acts chapter 16, you read about Paul bringing the gospel to Philippi, and he's with his partner in ministry, a man by the name of Silas, and they're there bringing the gospel, and as they're bringing the gospel there, this riot starts up, and they wind up getting thrown in jail. But the Bible says that they're in the jail, and they're actually chained up, and then the Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing hymns. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something very powerful and supernatural about that, to be in those circumstances and still have the joy of the Lord, to be able to pray and sing songs of praise to the Lord. That's exactly what Paul and Silas did. And as they were singing, the Bible says that God sent this earthquake, their chains fell off, and they were set free. And what a picture for us, that as those chains of anxiety and depression and oppression come upon us, our emotions start to get dragged down. Worshiping the Lord and choosing joy has a way of setting us free and delivering us. So when Paul is writing now, these years later, back to these Philippian Christians, and he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice, they knew. Paul had some street cred with these guys because they knew that story. And they knew that Paul chose worship right in the middle of that jail cell. So we can, with God's help, choose the joy of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, such a great passage of promises that have to do with the Messiah and what he would bring to our lives. So these things Jesus has brought to our lives, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So I want you to notice in that last part that praise is called a garment, and despair is called a spirit, and it's telling us to choose to put on this garment of praise to overcome the spirit of despair. Now, in the New Testament writings, there's a number of passages of scriptures for believers about things that we are to take off, things from our old life that we're to take off, and it's like taking off a jacket. We're just saying, I'm done with this. I don't need this in my life anymore. And then the Bible says that we're to put on a number of different things too as followers of Jesus Christ. So in this passage of Scripture, we're told to put on this garment of praise. And guys, there's a particular power that comes upon our lives as we're worshiping the Lord. There's an anointing. There's an infilling that comes from the Holy Spirit. When we choose joy, we choose to rejoice because God is good. So choose joy. That's number one. Second thing I want to give you, second weapon against anxiety is this. As far as it depends on you, maintain healthy relationships. Okay, as far as it depends on you, maintain healthy relationships. So we have this fifth, this verse in verse 5 that says this, let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, at first, that this verse looks like it's just kind of plopped down in these other things, and you think, well, what does that have to do with anxiety? But when you think about it, this gentleness, this would be the opposite of being overly opinionated, riding roughshod over people's feelings, being just generally obnoxious. So often, the friction that we experience in life is it's our fault. It's friction that we've created, right? It's impossible to maintain peace in our lives if we're being totally inconsiderate of other people's feelings and we're burning relationships all the time. And frankly, there are a lot of Christians out there that just need to learn or relearn some basic social graces and biblical principles when it comes to relationships. Things, simple things like think before you speak, right? Think about how your words are going to impact someone else. Learn how to make a sincere apology when you've been wrong. Give people grace. Be kind. All of these things. And when we violate these things, we will never have peace in our lives. So be gentle. Now, it's absolutely possible to be gentle and at the same time be strong. All right? Because we're told in the Bible to do both. We are to be strong, but we're also to be gentle. And Jesus was the ultimate example of that. There's never been a stronger man that's ever walked the face of the earth than Jesus. But at the same time, Jesus was absolutely gentle. Gentleness is the sign that the Holy Spirit has invaded our lives and that he is empowering us to live, think, and act like Jesus. Now, I know many of us, we struggle with gentleness because we got walls up. We've been burned. We've been hurt. But again, I want to encourage you, you cannot live your life from a victim mentality. We've all been hurt. But as Christians, we never adopt that mindset. And we're all learning and growing. Maybe you're not a very gentle person today. I want to encourage you, ask the Lord to help you become a more gentle person. And that in itself is going to help you with anxiety and stress in your life. All right, number three is this. Number three, when it comes to battling anxiety, is this. Open up your heart to God. Open up your heart to God. All right? And another word for this is prayer. Make sure prayer is at the center of your life. Open up your heart to God. This is interesting. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7 in this passage. This is interesting. According to Amazon's Kindle tracking, these are the most highlighted verses in the entire Bible. So apparently these scriptures have meant a lot to a lot of people. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then this promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer, opening up our heart to God. I want to give you three things, and these are three reasons why prayer helps us to battle anxiety in our lives. The first one is this. Prayer is release. It's a release. One of the reasons we're anxious is because we're bottling things up. We're holding them inside and they just build up and they're ready to explode. And in prayer, we can begin to open up our hearts to God. We can be completely honest with God in our prayer. We can let those things that are bottled up inside, we can let those things come out of us. So as your pastor, when I'm always encouraging you to pray, I'm not encouraging you to pray just because it's a religious thing to do, right? And that's what I do as a pastor, is encourage you to do these spiritual things. I encourage you to pray because I know how healthy it is for you, how important it is, and what a difference it's going to make in your life. It's going to help those things that are bottled up inside to come out as we pour them out to the Lord. Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden or heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." So as we bring these things to the Lord, it's a release to our spirit. Psalm 94 and verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." Yeah. So prayer is release. Secondly, prayer is a refocus. It's a refocus. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." So prayer is a refocus. And I'm going to challenge you to do something, to start making this a practice in your life. And if you don't get anything else out of this message, this is the nugget that I want you to get down, get it in your heart. I want to challenge you to do this. Turn every worry into a prayer. Turn every worry into a prayer. Man, what a difference this will make. So instead of ruminating on your worries and allowing your mind and emotions to just be out of control and to start to spin, turn those worries into prayers. Now, in order to do this, you're going to have to retrain your mind, all right? Because if your mind is used to taking those worries and just thinking about them, mulling them over, they grow, they get bigger, they turn into anxiety. That's how your mind typically works. It's going to take some retraining to start saying, okay, instead of going there, when I have a worry, I'm going to turn it into a prayer. And so it's retraining. That means the first few times you're going to have to remind yourself. It might take you a few times. You're going to forget sometimes, but keep coming back. And I'll promise you, if you will continue to do that and tell yourself, I'm going to retrain my mind and I'm going to take every worry and turn it into a prayer, it will make a huge, huge difference in your life. And then the third thing about prayer that helps us overcome anxiety is prayer is just refreshing. It's refreshing. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31 says, "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So there's this refreshing in our lives that takes place when we pray, when we get into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit comes and he just puts the wind back in our sails and we're just lifted up, and it's a supernatural thing. It's a powerful thing, and it's God's refreshing in our lives. I just feel led that even right now, I want to pray this. I want to pray a refreshing over your life. So if you wouldn't mind just taking this step with me, I want to pray for you right now. Let's ask for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. So would you just right now just lift your heart up to the Lord, maybe even hold your hands open to the Lord and say, "Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me. I need refreshing in my spirit. I feel so weary. I feel so tired. I feel so anxious. God, come and refresh me and refill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Yeah. There's a refreshing in God's presence. All right? Now, we're going to look at one more weapon this morning, and this is kind of a qualifier weapon for the weapon of prayer, because we're supposed to pray a specific way, again in verse 6, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You can underline that word, thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So our fourth weapon against anxiety today is count your blessings. Count your blessings. Consider how blessed you really, really are. A huge step to overcoming anxiety is learning contentment, learning to be content. Because I believe a major cause of anxiety is that a lot of us have adopted expectations about life that come from the world and not from God, right? So we've adopted this worldview that says, I deserve better. Life should be easy for me. I should be able to have it all, right? And that kind of mentality leads us down a rabbit hole of more and more anxiety. Listen, Jesus said this about life in this world. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, all right? Now, Jesus wasn't trying to be a Debbie Downer. He wasn't trying to discourage us. He was just trying to get us ready. That there is, as long as we're on planet Earth, it just comes with trouble. It just does. If we have this mentality that says, I deserve better, I want to have it all, I need to have more than my neighbor, and then we fall victim to all those magazine covers and all those commercials that portray what we want our life to be like, we're always going to be anxious. But if we will take the approach that says, man, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what trials I'm going through, I know God is with me, and that's the most important thing. Then we can have peace no matter what our circumstances are. Yeah, it's Jesus being at the center of our lives, not the peripheral, right? It's not like, well, these other things are what are most important to me, and once in a while, I call Jesus in when I really need him. That's not going to fly. It's not going to work. It's not going to help you battle this beast of anxiety. But when you keep Jesus at the very center, there's a great promise in the Old Testament that says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. So as we focus on Christ, we can have peace no matter what our circumstances are. Yeah. So today, I want to pray God's peace, total peace over your life. I want you to take these four weapons that we've given you. We're going to give you one more next Sunday. Take these four weapons. Start putting them into practice. Start refocusing your life instead of on worry and anxiety and stress. Start focusing your life on Jesus. And no matter what your circumstances are, you can have peace in the midst of all that. A peace, the Bible says, that is beyond anything this world can ever give you. You can have it no matter what the circumstances are. In fact, the Bible says it passes understanding. It's a supernatural thing, but you really can know the peace of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me as we pray. Before we pray, I want to give this invitation. If you happen to be listening to this message and you've not given your life to Christ or not fully surrendered your heart to him, and Jesus, maybe you've heard of him, but he's kind of out there. He's kind of someone your parents talked about. Maybe you grew up in church, but right now you don't have a relationship with God. I want you to know peace starts with Jesus. The Bible says about Jesus, actually, that he is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And so it all starts with Jesus. Thomas Merton once wrote this: the reason we don't have peace with others is because we don't have peace with ourselves. And the reason we don't have peace with ourselves is because we don't have peace with God. So it starts with Jesus. It starts with having a relationship with him. And if you're listening to this message and you've not given your life to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I'd like you to just pray this very simple prayer with me right now. Lord, I come to you right now and I lift my life up to you. God, I'm lacking peace in my life. I need to know your peace. I'm so stressed out. I'm so anxious. there's something in my spirit that just knows something's wrong, something's out of order. And Jesus, I believe the thing that I need to start with is my relationship with you. And so, Lord, I come before you right now and I ask, God, for your peace. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. God, I ask you to forgive me for doing everything in life my own way and not listening to you. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for me and that you have risen from the dead. So, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, I pray, God, for those that have been battling the beast of anxiety in their life. God, I pray that they would take your word and put it into practice. God, I pray that there would be a transformation that would take place in their heart, Lord, and in their mind. God, that they would learn to take every single worry and turn it into a prayer. To, Lord, make you the center and the focus, Lord. And in you, God, I know that there is peace for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.